Just 2 days ago, we met together. It was Good Friday, and we gathered around the drama of Jesus' death. You know, and if you haven't been here over the past week with us in journeying, I just want to fill you in a little bit on where we have been. You know, last Sunday, we joined together and celebrate this triumphal entry. We call it Palm Sunday in the church, but we celebrate Jesus coming into the holy city, Jerusalem, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we celebrate as our children walk in with palms waving to represent, you know, how Jesus was praised and worshiped, and the whole city saying, Hosanna, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's this idea that Jesus is king, that he is rightly coming to his throne. I love Palm Sunday. I do. I've said that over and over. I love it because it's like the day when we really worship Jesus as he ought to be worshiped. Then on Thursday, we gathered again to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we came around the table. We actually had a big table up here, and we all came up and sat down and shared Holy Communion, you know, like Jesus would have with his disciples, as he would gathered around with them. And then we read the part of the Bible that described the death scene that would unfold as for Jesus and his followers. And yet we felt privileged to sit together and just to remember Jesus' love for his followers. And we even, get this, had some time to wash one another's feet. Ew! But that's what Jesus did with his disciples, washed his disciples' feet and demonstrated his love for them. It was a great night. Then we came together again on Friday, Good Friday. Now, if you're new to all this, you may think, what? You came to church on last Sunday, and then you came to church on Thursday, and then you came again on Friday, and now you're here again Sunday? Are you guys crazy? You know, but maybe we are. It gets a little crazier, actually. We call the service on Friday Good Friday. It seems bizarre that on the night that we walk through Jesus' darkest hour of his life, that it doesn't seem good at all. It seems far from it, yet that's what we call it. You know, we read about Jesus' betrayal to his closest friends, his arrest, his unjust crucifixion, his suffering, and that nail-piercing brutality of a Roman crucifixion. You know, it's really almost unbearable. Why do we do it? Why do we celebrate that? Well, not only did we remember Good Friday, but we marked out with our fingerprints the cross. You can see right here all these red prints. We actually came up and imprinted our own prints on the cross of Jesus, representing that it is because of us that Jesus was killed. He died to save sinners. And our print on the cross marks that we are part of God's unfolding story. We are those people who need the Savior. We're the ones he came to save. So on Friday, we remember that Jesus took his last breath, you know, giving up his life, dying on the cross. We remember that he was buried in a tomb, and it was sealed, and Roman soldiers were posted with it. We remember that for Jesus' followers over 2,000 years ago, all seemed lost. Death seemed to have the victory. You know, with Jesus passing, the hope that once seemed so real on just the Sunday before now seems to be flickering and to die with Jesus. So it's a death that we remember. Why do we do it? Why do we give so much attention to a death? Well, we believe that there's one cross, Jesus' cross, that won life for us. You know, as followers of Jesus, it's because we have taken up our part in this unfolding drama of God's story, and God's story takes us to the cross of the Son of God, where his body was crushed and his blood was poured out to fulfill a purpose for us, which is our forgiveness, our redemption, the Bible says. You know, on Friday, the light of the world appeared to be snuffed out. Evil seemed to rule once again. All seemed like it was lost for those laying Jesus' body in the tomb. We said it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now you might be thinking, wow, Pastor Tim, all the drama. It's Easter. We already know what the outcome is. I mean, you just told the kids. We're not, you know, we get it, that Jesus was raised from the tomb and he's raised from the dead. And that is what we celebrate today. And it is incredible. Do you agree? Isn't it incredible that the tomb is empty? What do you think? Yes? Is it incredible? It's incredible. I think it's incredible. Then I looked up the definition of the word incredible. You know what it says? Get this. Too extraordinary and improbable to believe. Oh, okay. You know, words that would describe incredible, unbelievable, implausible, inconceivable, mind-blowing, far-fetched. A resurrection? Really? Does that sound like Easter? Actually, it does. Almost unbelievable. Because people don't rise from the dead, right? Resurrection is impossible unless you believe Jesus when he said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So today we're celebrating that Jesus was resurrected, which means very simply, the impossible has taken place. Jesus' dead body is resurrected to life again. The same body that was put into the tomb, that was beaten and bruised and lifeless, dead, has been raised to new life. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? It's powerful. It's amazing. It's wonderfully full of promise for you and me. And the promise is that we have life even after death. And today, unless we're really too young to understand this, you know, we all know someone who we've deeply loved that has died and their life has ended. We all know people maybe who are dying today and we grieve that possibility. And Easter gives us hope that death isn't the end, that dying doesn't end our relationship, and that by faith in Jesus and his death and his resurrection, we all have that hope of new life that lasts forever. That's Easter. That's the promise. That's the hope that we share. And I've heard many times by grieving people who tell me that, you know, I don't know what I would do without my faith. I don't know what I would do without the hope of a resurrection. You know, that there is something more than death. That there is life. We believe one cross, Jesus' cross, one life for all who believe. You know, Easter gives incredible hope. Remember what incredible means, inconceivable, implausible. Easter gives incredible hope if it's true. So let me assure you today, I do believe it's true. I trust it's true. I know it's true. I experience that it's true. Easter is full of hope if it's true. The Apostle Paul said in his letter, he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So Easter is full of hope, right? If it's true. And if it's not, there is no hope of resurrection. But also Easter is full of hope if it's true and if we believe it's true. Both of those things have to take place. It has to be true, but we also have to believe it's true in order to experience the outcome of the resurrection. So you're here today. So you must either believe it's true or you at least hope that it's true. Hope it's possible. You know, I believe what the Apostle Paul tells his readers. I'm calling this Paul's Hope of Easter letter. He says this. He says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12 others. You know, that's really as simple as it gets, that Jesus died for our sins. One, that he was raised on the third day. Two, and three, that he appeared to witnesses alive. So what is the first part of this message matter to the resurrection? Well, the obvious one is this, that is, if Jesus didn't die, he wouldn't have been resurrected, right? There has to be a Friday before Easter comes. We believe one cross gives us hope for the resurrection. You know, if a person doesn't believe in the possibility of a resurrection, then they would try to come up with some theories or ideas about what actually happened to explain what the disciples might have seen. Our DC class this morning did an amazing drama, and it was about investigating the evidence for the resurrection. And one of those areas they looked at was, did Jesus really die? And so we have a clip here of their investigation that we're going to share today.
Since rising from the dead is impossible for human beings, maybe Jesus passed out in a coma, then after 3 days he revived. Is that possible?
Okay, we have a legitimate question. I've heard this is called the swoon theory. Did Jesus really die, or was he passed out in a coma following the cross?
My friends and I are investigating the resurrection. I believe Jesus really died on the cross, so how does a coroner know when a person is really dead?
Well, the most obvious signs of death are a lack of a pulse and lack of breathing. There are other signs of death, maybe blood pooling on the backside of your body, lack of blood in your fingertips. Your fingertips will turn color. Mottling is kind of a settling of blood. Also, rigor mortis sets in after a period of time. And that's an obvious sign of death. I know that the Bible talks about Jesus breathing his last breath. It would have been quite obvious while he was on the cross, just because of the way he was situated with his arms out, his chest was bare. You'd quite obviously be able to see chest rise and fall in that situation. So I'm quite confident that those that were there or thereafter would be able to tell, because there would not be that chest rise and fall. I know crucifixion itself is something that was brutal, horrible, awful way to die. But that would be an obvious sign of death.
So the death of Jesus really isn't questioned that much. I mean, it's pretty much a historical fact. It's documented. If anybody, cares to search that out, he died. People die, right? But was his death unique? Did his death actually forgive us of our sins? And how would we know that? Well, we would know that if the outcome of sin is reversed. This is really the only way we'd know. The outcome of sin is death. Adam and Eve were told in the garden, if you eat this apple, if you disobey God, then you will surely die. And the outcome is they died. And every human being since has died. And so we have Jesus who has died. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin results in death. So if sin is destroyed, then the outcome of sin should then begin to be undone as well. Death would no longer hold Jesus in the grave. So we know that he died, and if death doesn't hold him, then he is resurrected, right? So then we can believe that one cross truly did win life for us if Jesus is raised from the grave. So we think about Good Friday. We celebrate the death because if it's true that Jesus died for our sins, then death no longer holds its outcome. The power of death cannot keep us in the grave. And then we say that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Easter's coming. The resurrection is coming for Jesus, but also for you and me. And so we believe with the Apostle Paul that Easter convinces us that Christ has died for our sins, and we know he was raised on the third day. How do we know he was raised on the third day? That's the difficult piece, isn't it? If all this falls into place, it's true, we have hope of a resurrection. How do we know? What's the third piece to the puzzle? He appeared to witnesses alive. We listened to the Easter story this morning about the women who went to the tomb, about their witness. And there's so many things in that account that if the Bible writers were trying to produce some kind of conspiracy or hoax, they just wouldn't have done it like that. They wouldn't have used women as a witness because in those days, women didn't really hold. I mean, people didn't believe. You had to have two women to have the truth versus one. And there's so many different accounts about why that would have been just done differently. But instead, we have witnesses who have seen Jesus and they record it just how they see it. Oftentimes, they don't really understand how they see it or why they see it, but they do. And we hear from One Minute Apologist, a clip from Bobby Collins. He talks about this fascinating response to this idea of the witnesses and the resurrection.
And another evidence that we can share, or that I'd like to share with you personally, if you were exploring Christianity for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the whole idea that he was seen by eyewitnesses. Verse 6, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep or have died. In other words, Paul's saying he appeared to 500 at once, many of which, most of which, are still alive. In other words, if you don't believe me, the evidence still lives. The evidence still walks and breathes. Go and ask them. It says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, to one untimely born. He also appeared to me. We know that he showed up on the Emmaus Road and he appeared to the disciples there. And so he showed up on ample different occasions, affirming and validating his resurrection. We need to realize that this eyewitness testimony is massive as a line of evidence, because while Jesus was alive and living, the disciples were scattering. But after he died, the disciples were sticking close to Jesus and living for him and announcing his resurrection.
So there lies the key, the witnesses to the resurrection. They say it's true. We believe it's true. So we have this understanding that if it's true, then it accomplishes the hope that we have for new life in Christ. But not only that it's true, but also that we believe it's true for us. That we believe that the resurrection is real for us. And that in Christ we have new life in him. And so being here today, I trust that you either believe that he has been raised from the dead and have that hope, or you hope that he's been raised from the dead and want that hope. And so I'm just going to take a moment today and pray to invite the risen Lord into our hearts to confirm in us the hope that we have in the resurrection and the new life. And so I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and just honor your neighbors around you. And if you already know Jesus, wonderful. Then take a moment to just thank him for his death and resurrection. If you are unsure, if you haven't trusted in Jesus yet, but you have hope that it's true, then today I invite you to put your trust in him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. Lord, I believe that you did die on the cross for me, that I may be forgiven. And you can just silently pray along with me if this is where your heart is. And Lord, thank you that you did die for me. And Lord, please forgive my sin and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe that you were raised from the dead, that you defeated the power of sin, which is death. And that, Lord, by faith in you, I have life as well, new life now and for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, I pray in your name. Amen.